So as I mentioned this morning, we got Sarah Seder. The topic, the official topic of the Mishnah, of course, is the Bedikas Chametz, and the Gemara is going to begin to talk about that on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, with the two dots. The first two blot officially are dedicated to a single word. A single word. You see how much the Amoraim treasured every word of Tanah? The opening sukkah from Daf Beis Amud Aleph till Daf Dalet Amud Aleph is of the single word Oral Arba Asah. We haven't even gotten to the Arba Asah yet. I don't know, what does Or mean? The girl wants to know my Or. And they go against an apparent machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. As I mentioned this morning, there are many yeshivas that would skip their first two lot and jump straight to Daf Dalet, but I would not want to deprive you of the incredible richness of the first two blot of the Masechta. We will get in Mirtz Hashem to Daf Dalet and beyond, and we'll have a chance when we get back to Daf Dalet to get back into the thick of things in terms of the on the Chametz side, in terms of Bedikas Chametz and Schiras and so on and so forth. There's a lot coming up there, and there's a lot coming up right here. We will in Mirtz Hashem have a chance to get introduced to the basic fundamentals of Kachin, the fundamentals of Taurus. There's so much going on just over the opening blot from Beis to Gimel, the sugya of Ar. Then we're going to see from Gimel to Dalet is a further tangential sugya of Lashon Naki versus Lashon Meguna, and that itself is going to send us back to Kachin into all sorts of fascinating, very, very enriching study. So let's dive in right now. My R. Beis Amal. My R. Rav Huna Amar Nagi, Yehuda Amar Leili. So what is the word? How do you translate the word R? So either it means dawn, it means early morning, that's what Rav Huna says, Nagi. And Rav Yehuda says no, it means the nighttime. Now we looked at the Mishnah, we right away said, of course, the Oral Abasar means the night of the 14th. We right away said that because we knew what we do. So we learned the Mishnah, we said right away, of course it means Lel Abasar because we knew the Maskada, we know what we do. If you look at the Mishnah, the truth is, the word R sounds like light. The word R, you would assume, means morning. Le'idach Gisa, as the Yosef pointed out during Seder, La'ar Haner, what do you use a candle for? So that sounds... Ironically, the word R appears twice in the opening line of the Mishnah, and it sort of sends you in opposite directions. So the Mishnah itself, if we were to learn it without any prejudice, which is hard, because we already know what we do, if we were to learn the Mishnah without any prejudice, I'm not sure what maskana we would come to. Or lar ba'asar, bokim sachametz, la'ar haner, but what does R mean? So Rav Huna said R means nagi, dawn. Rav Huna says R means leili, nighttime. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara here makes an editorial comment, commenting on what the Amoraim are thinking. But you have to be careful here. We're not commenting on Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. There are three generations represented over the next couple of lines. Here, let me just to make things a little clearer, especially if we don't have a board. I happen to recommend this is a very, very handy tool. It is much like the Swiss Army knife of learning Gemara. Rav Ari Carmel is one of the great Talmidim of Rav Dessler. He's one of the three Talmidim who was responsible for writing with Gamaliel. He's a contemporary of Rav Chaim Friedlander. And a very, very fascinating Talmud Chacham of very broad interest. So he wrote this handy dandy for $12.90, you too can be the proud owner of Siyata Le Gemara. I call it the Swiss Army Knife of Gemara because it mamish is like a multi-tool. In this little packet, he has a few pages of like the 300 or 400 words you really need to know, like a concise dictionary for Shas. And then he gives you like 3, 4, 5 pages of basic grammar. And then it gives you it gives you a sense of like what you correspond to. Very fascinating near the end. It gives you a sense based on examples from Shas, what the purchasing price, the purchasing value of different monetary units, like what did pruta actually mean? Like how much could you buy with a pruta? How much could you buy with it? It's very, very fascinating. And more and more and more, all sorts of just useful, a lot of useful tools. He gives you a quick list of key Rosh HaTevis to know. And he has charts of like, you know, how many kazesim and how many kebetsim and a lug and a kav and so on and so forth. And then at the end, two fold-out pages. So at the very, very end, he has a map. He has two maps, actually. Here's a map of the Middle East from the time of Gemara. And then there's a clear sheet on top of it is an overlay of a modern map. So you can actually see Babel, Ashur, Pumpedisa, how they correspond to Syria, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and so on and so forth. Very, very useful and interesting. That type of thing catches you. And he has another fold-out map, which is a chart of the sort of like a family tree, an intellectual family tree of the Tanoim and the Amorim. So here are the Tanoim, a generation. Who was the Talmud of whom? Yochum Hillel and Shammai, Yochum and Zakkai, Yochum and Zakkai's Talmidim, Belezer, Beshua, Rebbe Akiva, and then their Talmidim. And then on the other side, he has the Amorim. The truth is, when we have a board, if you get down like 10 basic Tanan and 10 basic Amram, the two key Tanan from this generation, the two from that generation, once you have the basics down, it'll be reinforced and reviewed every page of Shas. Once you have it, you've seen it hundreds of times, you never noticed. Once you know that your Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, you see it all the time. But just to have a basic sense that there are like 6-7 generations of Amoraim, you know Rav and Shmuel and Yechon, and then comes Rabbi Yehuda or Nachman, and then comes Rav and Yosef, and then comes Abai and Rava. So they have a very nice chart here. It's Israel, Bavel. So you have to understand that the Amoraim who are arguing here are Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, who are second generation Amoraim. They were Talmidim of Rav and Shmuel. But here's Rav Huna, and here's Rav Yehuda. That second generation, there are several generations afterwards. The third generation, may count the third generation is Rav and Rav Yosef, and then comes the fourth generation is Abai and Rava, and then the fifth generation is Rav Papa, Rav Huna Beit Yeshua, and then after them, the sixth generation or so, is Ravina Rav Asha. Remember, Yehuda Nasi, the end of the period of the Tanaim, he's compiling Mishnayos around the year 240. So the Hebrew calendar, 4,000. Chasimas HaTalmud, Ravina Rav Ashi, is around 300 years later, around 550 or so. There's a lot, there are many generations of Amoraim. So you have to understand the following. The Gemara just presented early Amoraim. Talmid Rav and Shmuel, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, they're handling, how do you translate the word R? One of them said Nagi and one of them said Leili. The later Amoraim are going to have a whole shock of atari of the course of Daf Beis and Alf, Daf Beis and Beis, into Daf Gimel and Aleph, bringing Rias, Toshmai, Reis, Artsi, and Sefer, back and forth. Can I prove that R really means Yom? Can I prove that R really means Lila? So that's the second layer here. You have Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, then you have maybe Abai and Rava or so, a generation or two later, they're handling, that's the Sugya. And then there's a third set, maybe for Ravina Rashi's time, who are commenting on the second set. Because this Kalsal Kedaitach is not a comment on Rav Huna themselves. This is a comment on the Toshmas. This is a comment, this is the third set of Amoraim commenting on Kalsal Kedaitach right now. One can imagine maybe in Ravina Rashi's day, they're saying, you should know, you're about to learn a sugya of, let's say, from Abai and Rava's time, handling about Rav Huna and Yehuda. You have to know, in order to understand the sugya, that Kalsal Kedaitach, that the Amoraim, the middle Amoraim, who are going to be debating, can it bring a riot to Rav Huna, can it bring a riot to Rav Yehuda, could we be mosiv against one or the other, they are assuming the Manda Amar Nagi, Nagi Mamish, Manda Amar Leili, Leili Mamish. What you need to know for the next block is that the middle Amoraim, who are handling about the early Amoraim, they're assuming that the early Amoraim meant their words literally. That it was really a machlokas where they do Bikas Chametz by Yom or by Laila. Do you do Bikas Chametz at night? The Leili means Leili, and Nagi really means Nagi. That they thought the middle Amoraim, the contemporaries of Rabbi and Rava, let's say, they mamish thought that Rav Huna did B'dikas Chametz early in the morning, like Slichas. We're in the right period of time, period of the year to think about this. So they thought that Rav Huna would get up early in the morning, at the crack of dawn, and do B'dikas Chametz, and then go down Vasikin. So Ibrazai, so then the whole sugya starts. And why is this a Kasal G'daytach? Because as you saw, ultimately the Gemara Dav Gimel and Aleph, let's take a peek for a moment, the Gemara Dav Gimel and Aleph comes to a Maskana. What's the final, after all the Tashmas, someone told me, counted, it was 14? A lot of Tashmas, very, very rich sugya. It's an unusually long list of, rarely do you have a Shaka V'tari that Mamash has so many Tashmas. So what's the final Tashma? Halfway through the wide lines of Gimel and Aleph, the Tani Devei Shmuel, there's a brisa that they said over in the yeshiva of Shmuel. Shmuel was from the first generation Amram, the Rebbe of Huna and Yehuda. Lately, our Baal Seba Zuchamas are in there. They had a brisa that said over our Mishnah with one twist. Instead of the word or, it said Laila explicitly. So that doesn't leave much wiggle room. Alma or Urta. So don't you see the word or means Urta. Now that itself is a little confusing. Yeah. When I was in first grade and second grade, even fourth grade, I think. So the Rebbe taught Chumash and Touch. Los Mentos. And he teach on the pictures. So Bereshis, as you know, is written in Hebrew. So he explained it. Bereshis in Anfang Bar Lakim and Abish Bashafin. Exactly. And so it's complicated when you're translating from one language you don't know to another language you don't know. So we're a little bit stuck like that here because the Gemara is assuming, if you're teaching Chumash and Taich, you're assuming everyone knows Yiddish. So the helpful is going to be a contribution by translating the Hebrew you don't know into Yiddish that you do know. So the Gemara is assuming that you know Aramaic. So the Gemara is assuming, of course, you know what the word Urta means, except that we maybe don't. If our Aramaic is a little rusty, you should know Urta, ironically, by the way, Urta obviously relates to the word Or, and Urta means evening. Urta means night. And Alma or Urta, you see from that brisa that Or means night, because it was Leili. Ah, so what's going on? What was Rav Huna thinking? How would Rav Huna square with the brisa that was said over in his Rebbe's yeshiva? El Ben Rav Huna, Ben Rav Yehuda, and Gimel and Aleph, Dekuli Alma or Urta, everyone agrees that Or means night. For low pligi, that Or means light Leili. For low pligi, I suppose the machlokas. No, they're not arguing. How they're not arguing? Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. Asrei is a place, a location. Mar ki asrei, this one Rav said ki asrei, like his location, kim mekomo, umar ki asrei. And the other Talmud Chacham said like his location. Basrei Rav Huna, karu nagi, basrei Rav Yehuda, karu leili. In Rav Huna's town, they called it nagi. In Rav Yehuda's town, they called it leili. And as you saw, the Mesaras Hashas explains, he quotes from the Oruch. He quotes, says, yeah, the last word in that Mesaras Hashas here is Oruch. Ayin, Resh, Vav, Chaf. The Oruch is a dictionary, of an Aramaic dictionary of Shas, written by one of the early Mishonim. Rabbeinu Nassim lived in Italy. Rabbeinu Nassim lived in Italy at the same time that Rashi lived in France and Germany, at the same time that the Rif lived in Spain and Northern Africa. They all lived around the 1000s into the 1100s, the very, very beginning of the Rishonim. All three of them were interested in writing a work that would make Gemara learning more accessible. But they chose three different genres, three different styles of Svarim, each with a similar type of goal. So Rashi, we know, wrote a Pirish, a running commentary on the Gemara. The Rif, as we know from the back of the Gemara, he wrote an abridgment, a summary of the Gemara, that was meant to make learn Gemara easier, a different way of making it easier. And the Aruch wrote a dictionary. He ends up giving Perushim in many Gemaras, but it's not Al-Seder Gemaras, it's Al-Seder Aleph. If you find a tough word in your Gemara, you look up the Aruch, you may get the Aruch jackpot. Not only will you get the translation of the word, sometimes they even give you the whole say, here's the one that we showed him, contemporary of Rashi. So here the quotes, the Aruch comments, what do you mean? What type of answer is this? What do you mean? They called it Nagi. They called it morning, but we're talking about nights. It says, yeah, Kinoyu. This is what the Mesaras Hashas quotes from the Aruch. from this Rabbeinu Nelson. Kinahu, it's a euphemism. Kemo shekorin lesuma sagi nar. The same way we refer to a person who's blind as a sagi nar. Sagi nar means plenty of light, sufficient light. Nahor is light. So obviously that's a euphemism. He cannot see the light. He's blind. Instead of calling him blind, we call him sagi nar. It's a more polite. It's a more polite way of saying it. It's not accurate, but it's polite. And he goes on to say, if you actually want to know where the word Noah comes from, he gives you a source in Eov. It's not the only place where the Shoresh Nun Gimel Hay appears. Velo Yigah Shavivi Sho. The sparks of his fire will not glow. Take a look at the context. 18th parak of Eov. But the words, again, the word Noga means glow. Noga sometimes also used to refer to Venus, the morning star. Noga means light. That's why, literally, you look at the beginning of Brachas, there's a discussion there as well. The sugya of Neshef. Literally, Nagi means early morning, it means dawn. But what we're saying is, in Rav Huna's town, you know, it's not a machlokas in din, it's not a machlokas, it's just each one spoke his language. So if an American Talmud Chacham talks about, has a shayla about pressing the button in the elevator, and a British Talmud Chacham has a shayla about pressing the button in the lift, so it's not a machlokas. In Britain they say lift, and in America we say elevator. Some people say sidewalk, and some people say pavement. Some people say soda. If you're in the Midwest, you might talk about drinking pop. It's the same thing. I say tomato, you say tomato. It's not a machlokas, it's just each one is using the dialect of his town. So in Rav Yehuda's town, the way he said night was Leili. In Rav Huna's town, the way he said night was not Leili. He actually said Nagi. They used the euphemism. Instead of saying night, they would call it morning. A little confusing. But then again, what's the first euphemism in the sugya? Or. The mission of the euphemism. Or. So at night it's calling it or. That itself is euphemism. If anything, I think Rav Huna was actually modeling, sort of reflecting, no pun intended, but reflecting Aramaic, the usage. Again, when the ironic, when they go on to translate, you know what or really means? Or really means or the Jamaica is the Aramaic cognate to the Hebrew or. But it all means that. So coming back here, that's why the Gemara said Kasaka Daita. The Gemara is giving us a tip, and that's why someone thought, why are we looking at the Maskana before he, at the beginning? Because if you want to understand the Kasaka Daita, the Gemara says you should know that for the next block from Beis Amunah until Gemara, the middle of the Amoraim who are going to be discussing and debating and trying to prove or disprove the early Amoraim, trying to bring Raya's for or against Rav Huna or Yehuda, you have to know that they are assuming the premise of the next blot is no. The premise of the next blot is not like the Maskana. The premise of the next blot is that it's Mamash Machlokas and Din. It's not just two different dialects that they were speaking. Machlokas and Din, that Rav Huna actually held Shidu B'dikas Chametz in the morning. That's why they say Mamash. Okay, Rashi and Tosis get involved in how exactly Rashi, you may have seen, change the girsa here. The Argamara says, Kasaka Daita, the Manda Amar Nagi, Nagi Mamish, the Manda Amar Leili, Leili Mamish. And that's our girsa in the middle, in the Gemara, which, by the way, is rare. Usually the girsa in the middle follows Rashi, but here it does not. So Rashi says, Manda Amar Leili, Leili Mamish Lo Garsina. We should take out that last line. We should just say, Kasaka Daita, the Manda Amar Nagi, Nagi Mamish. Why?
Because the question is only going on the or.
Well,
it's only going on the one who says.
Not the question.
The Kasaka Daita.
Yeah, you're saying good, say better.
It's superfluous to say
lately. Not only superfluous.
It's correct.
Adriano. Well, yes, and therefore the statement is false. Meaning, Rashi says it's not going to change. Oh, maybe, okay, superfluous. The Gemara is saying, the Hava meaning is that Laila Mamish means Laila and Nagi Mamish means Nagi. So Rashi says, it's not just a Hava meaning. What happens with Maskana? Laila does mean Laila. It's only Nagi which is euphemistic. That's what Rashi says, we should take out the Leili line, because it will be Mamish even with Maskana. And Tosa says, no. Tosa says, why not? Tosa says we should keep it, and then the round sort of gives a twist. Tosa says, Lo naka kazagadayachim ela mishum manda armanagi, the latayachim. We use a terminology kazagadayta because nagi changes, but agamurche naka nami leli mamish. Once you said that, so we use the whole phrase. Mishum haki ein l'shabesh hasvar. Tosa says, this is not a reason to be mishabesh the svarim. L'shabesh is a technical term that means to change the girsa. Mashveshta means a mistake. The Gemara says the word mashveshta to be mistaken girsa. So l'shabesh hasvarim means to declare that we have a girsa mistake. So Tosa says, Tirashi, don't suggest an alternative girsos. Okay. And the Ron is a little, the Ron says like Tosa, there's a little bit of a twist. It's a little Chidush HaRan. Chidush HaRan, by the way, is not the same as a Ron in the back of the Gemara. It's the same person. But he wrote two different svarim. The Ron, Rabbeinu Nissen ben Reuven, he wrote a running commentary on the Rif. But then he also wrote Chidushim, like Chidush HaRajda, Chidush HaRamban, Chidush HaRitva. He wrote Chidushim on Shas. In Chidush HaRan, which you can get as a separate volume, and which you have copied in the Maram Kavos, in the packet. So he points out, it sounds like he's trying to say Tosis with a twist. He says, Kasalka Daitach, this sentence. It's not two separate phrases. There's a single approach. It's an overall, the approach is, the Havamina is, that the terminology is meant as is, and that therefore it's a machlokas and did. That whole sentence gets rejected. But don't break it down. Tosa just said, okay, once you said one, we said the other. The Ron sounds like you're saying a little more with a different twist. This whole approach, this perspective is being rejected. The perspective as a whole is this is mamish, and that's mamish. And that therefore, the machalok is indeed. Be that as it may, the Gemara then gets into, say, rolls up and says, let's roll up our sleeves and let's start figuring out Meisvei. We can have a kasha against one of the Amoram. Usually Meisvei introduces a kasha from Tanan, the Mishnah of Reisa. Here it's a kasha from a Pasuk in Chumash. The Chiddush HaRan adds is that Chiddush HaRan agrees with Tosas against Rashi that we should not change the girsa. I believe that there's a slightly different. Rashi makes a good point. The Tosas is without saying it, trying to respond to Rashi's kasha. Again, and Rashi's kasha was how could you say Kalsalka Daitach Leili Leili Mamish? It's not just a Kalsalka Daitach. That's true even Levaskan. The famous kasha like that, the opening blot of Balavasra. Nor had the Vetispera, but it says something which is true Lamaskana. So how could you say something true Lamaskana and introduce it with a Vetispera? Or here, how could you introduce something that's true Lamaskana with a Kaasal Kedaitach? So what do you do? So Rashi's solution was take that line out. Rashi removed five words from our Gemara. Umanda Amar Leili Leili Mamash. Rashi said those do not belong. Because that's not just the Havamin. Rashi said the girsa should just be Kasaka Daitach Demanda Managi Nagi Mamash. Period. And Tosa said, no, keep it in. Why is it there? It's not just a Havamin. It says, once we said one, we said the other. Sort of like, it kept going the flow of the language. But Lav Dafka, and that's what Tosa says. Agav Urche Naked Nami Leil Mamash. Once we're talking, so we said the other half, even though it's not false. But it's not really, it doesn't really belong in a Kasal Kedaitach. The Ron, I think, might be saying something a little more than just, I think he's giving more of an answer to Rashi's Kasha than Tosas does. Tosas just said, once he said one, he said the other. The Ron, I think, unless I'm imagining it, if you take a look at the Ron inside, he says, Rashi deletes it to Ein Tzorach, no need to change the girsa. Avagav Daman Damar Leili, Leili Mamash HaMaskana in Amika, even though that's true Lamaskana, Naka Kasaka Daitach, why do we say Kasaka Daitach? Mishun Daman Damar Nagi Nagi Mamash Kaomar, Ki Hechi Daman Damar Leili, Leili Mamash Kaomar. They go together. The happy one is that they are both equally Mamash. Which I think what he's trying to get at is. So there's a whole perspective that they're giving. Don't break, Rashi's starting to break down each line. It's a whole take. The perspective of the Havamina is that each one means it and that therefore they're arguing it.
Wait, so
the
Havamina is that
Lemaskana, we're going to reject that whole mentality, the whole paradigm, and say, no, it's all a question of just language, of different dialects.
So the Ron is saying, shouldn't we finish just because it flows nicely because we actually need it?
Yeah, it's true. In other words,
disagrees with the Rashi, but in a different way. Because Tosfos is disagreeing in terms of, like, stylistically, should we throw it in, should we not? The Ron is saying, like, there's no stylistic argument that we actually need it.
Yeah. Because it's part of a whole approach. I believe that's what the Ron is saying. Sure.
Rabbi, so the Ron differs from Tosfos because he holds that, you shouldn't change the gears, but you should leave it in for a different reason.
Right. But the question is, why is it there? So Tosfos says, it's there because, it sort of flows. I think, I could be wrong, I may be reading too much into it, but I think the Ron is implying that it actually fits. Not that line alone, that one clause alone is not really Pasal Gedaita, but don't look at it as two separate clauses. Look at it as one unit. This is mamish as much as that's mamish. Ki hechi. This is mamish same as that's mamish. I think what that means is, in other words, Pasal Gedaita, this is a machlokas and din. That each one means what he's saying, and they actually are arguing over the din. They're actually arguing over content. As opposed to the maskana, which is, there's no machlokas at all. It's just a question of dialogue. And then the Gemara gets into 2-3 minutes left. So let's get started in the first one or two rides. Meisve, Habokar Ara Nashim Shulchu. Again, as we were saying before, it's interesting. Meisve, usually Meisve introduces a kasha from Tanaim, but here, at least initially, the first couple of rides will actually be kashas from Sukkim. Kasha from Sukkim. Habokar Ara Nashim Shulchu. Alma or Yimamahu. As the Pasuk says, Bereishis Mandalid, the brothers leave, they're sent out of Mitzrayim in the morning. Haboker Or. Well, the morning was Or. So obviously, Or means morning. Or means Alma or Yimamahu. No? Pretty straightforward. Araya for whom? Araya actually for the way we don't pass it, right? Araya for Vahuna. You see, the R means Nagi. R means morning. The Gemara says, there's another question. What's the Gemara's answer? Miksiv ha'or boker. No, ha'boker or ksiv. The Gemara says, it would have been a raya if we would have said ha'or boker. But since it said ha'boker or, kemanda amar tzafra nahar. It says, like someone who says, the morning is light. Tzafra is Aramaic for morning. Nahar is light. It's always a good idea to enter with a kitov and to leave the kitov, meaning to enter the city, to end your trip, to make it to your destination city while it's still light before dark, and to leave in the morning after it gets light. Good idea to not travel at night. The question is, well, what just happened? What's it doing? Haboker or boker? Well, this one is right, so not right. I understand. He says, morning, or shine. Yeah? So what's the answer?
I was actually
going to
ask a question.
Oh. So the first question before I asked questions, I said, well, what's the word even say? What does the word mean? So Rashi helps a little bit. And then David helps even more. Rashi starts saying, well, hi, or love, shame, davar hu el haboker ha'ir. We're not talking about a thing. Instead of mean the morning shone. Oh, what's really going on, Rabbi David makes it even clearer. He says, look, everyone agrees, we'll take a look maybe Rabbi David tomorrow. He says, everyone agrees the word aura, or means light. Of course. No one disagrees with, there was no havamina, that the word or does not mean light. As a matter of fact, we lamas gonna hold that or labasa means nighttime. We still agree the word or means light. He says, you have to distinguish between talking about light, which often shows up as a verb, like hey ear, to get light, to give light, versus talking about a certain time of day or night. When we're talking about a certain time on the clock, that's the machlokas. Or, the word or could be used both to mean light and to refer to a particular time. So that's what we're saying. If it would have said ha'or, boker, dawn, turn to morning, oh, so that would mean that or actually means a certain time of day. But a haboker or In that case, it's really being used as a verb. The morning became light. Everyone agrees that or means light. And that's what Rashi is saying also. That the answer of the Gemara is or is not a shame double. It's not a noun referring to a particular time on the clock. Haboker he'ir means morning grew light. Safra nahar. Okay. There is more going on here. There's even an interesting discussion the Tosis and the Ron and others have about what's the story with leaving in the morning, coming, arriving before night, leaving after morning. How does that fit into the sugya? What does it mean? Maybe there are two layers to that. So we'll pick up with that in Mitzvah tomorrow, and then we're going to go on to the Gemara has more rayas. It gets really involved in the discussion of Alam Hazeh and Alam Haba, and then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of. We're going to have to sink in deeply. The Gemara is going to get into the discussion of Tzitzak Kochav. It's actually going to vault us, or the Sigil later, which appears in the Ma'am Kamas's section Dalit, is going to vault us into the whole beautiful Sugya of Zmani Hayom and the Tam and the Gra and so on and so forth. Very, very beautiful. And one of the entry points into that Sugya is Psachim Davez right over here. We will come to attraction and continue tomorrow.